drawing near. Brothers, sisters, please get ready. Brothers, sisters, please get ready. Brothers, sisters, please get ready. For the time is drawing near. Welcome. You are tuned into KKRN, community-supported radio, broadcasting out of Round Mountain in Bella Vista, California. This is Bending the Arc. Bending the Arc is a show sponsored by the Shasta Equal Justice Coalition, and we feature conversations with people and groups working for equal justice in our communities. Today, I'll be speaking with program manager from the Day Reporting Center here in Shasta County, Danielle Gehring, and also Christopher Coulter, a graduate of the DRC, or Day Reporting Center program. When we begin, I have them introduce themselves. We talk about the Day Reporting Center programs and services, some of the challenges that people face transitioning out of incarceration and back into communities. And we'll hear about what successes they've seen and what helps people to make that transition successfully. In the show notes, you'll find links to the program and also an invitation to a community open house that you can attend in April. So sit back, enjoy, and welcome to this conversation with the Day Reporting Center. So welcome to both of you. Thank you so much for being on the show. I really appreciate it. And by way of beginning, I'm just going to let you introduce yourselves. So begin with you, Danielle.
My name is Danielle Gehring. I am the program manager of the Shasta County Day Reporting Center. And I have been with the program for 6.5 years.
Hi, thank you for having me. My name is Christopher Coulter, and I'm a graduate of the DRC program.
Awesome. Welcome. So, Danielle, I wanted to begin with you and to tell people a little bit about when the Day Reporting Center, or DRC, was established here. How did it come about?
Yeah, the need for a Day Reporting Center in Shasta County was identified during a proactive community initiative to prepare for AB 109 realignment. So the county formed these subcommittees to begin identifying the needs of the criminal justice population. And through those committees, it was determined that an intensive level-based program was a needed service, and a request for a proposal was put out by the county, and the GEO group responded and was fortunate to be the selected provider.
What's a level? You said level-based program.
Yes, level-based. So our program, our traditional model, has phases that participants progress through. And so as they have achieve these behavioral milestones, they're progressing through the program and ultimately graduating with a successful completion.
Mm-hmm. And how long was it for you, Christopher, before you graduated? How long were you in the program?
So I've done the program for about a year now, and I, you know, had some hiccups in the middle of it, had to go back and redo a few things, because a lot of the key elements of this program is being honest with yourself, with the staff, you know, and just really coming to a new ground of loyalty that you need to have to yourself and to the community. And so it took me a little longer than some, but ultimately I think I gained more from it, and it was I made it through all the phases and completed all of the program in less than a year. And there's a large reward system in this program too, which was really helpful for me. Each time you complete a phase, each time you move up, you are granted a little more freedom, things within, you know, just small prizes. You know, they seem simple, but in reality, they play a big role in keeping your spirits high.
Kind of morale.
Yeah, that's a big part of this program that keeps your morale high. Everybody's super excited for you, and fellow participants are big on board with, you know, completion and you know, phasing up and different things like that. You get your name on the board, and
yeah,
it's fun.
Yeah, yeah, and that support, yeah, that camaraderie. Yeah.
Yeah, it keeps your hopes high and it keeps your spirit high through the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I enjoy about the phase progressions is that, you know, Mr. Coulter is at the end of his program, and so now he becomes a role model for the participants that are still in the program, and that's a nice thing to see, right? Participants in the program, they don't always just know how to behave a new way. That's why we're here. And so being able to see a fellow participant and obtain that peer support and mentorship becomes invaluable.
Mm-hmm. And I can imagine, not to put words in your mouth, but I'm kind of asking you too, that talking to someone who's actually been through the program has its really strong validity. You know, it's like that person knows what it's like.
Coming into the program, I had my mentors, and now leaving the program, I'm so excited to mentor, you know, because you see and you really, when you come out the other side of this, you're you have a whole new vision of life. You really feel like you've done a lot of work, and you have done a lot of work, but it's not traditional criminal justice work or, you know, in the program work. It's something that is prideful, and you walk away from it when you've done good and you've kept your word and you've completed the program things and in different phases, you feel, you know, proud to do it. And then you see somebody else coming in, they got the kind of scared eyes, and they've got they've just dealt with main house probation rules, and you come here and it's so much kinder, and it's on your own. You know, you're doing this because you want to do it for yourself, and so it's easy to want to jump back in and be a part of the next class, and that you want to see the next graduation, and you get excited about it because the time that you've spent in program really builds you into somebody that you aren't expecting. I didn't expect to be the man I am today from this program, and I really cherish who I am today.
Well, we have more questions about that and about the program. I wanted to make sure I circled back to the GEO group too. Mm-hmm. And if you could tell us a little about that group and where else they have similar services.
So GEO is a leading provider of rehabilitative services to criminal justice-involved individuals nationwide. Mm-hmm. And we began providing services back in the 1980s. Mm-hmm. So GEO Reentry Services provides comprehensive reentry programs at over 100 locations across the country, with services delivered in custody, in residential facilities, and then, of course, community-based programs like the Day Reporting Center here in Shasta County. And with this company, you know, we believe that people can change. We offer a full continuum of evidence-based recidivism reduction programs designed to help participants fulfill essential needs, build life skills, improve relationships, and achieve lasting behavior change that allows them to become a productive member of their community.
Mm-hmm. We're going to say something else.
I was just going to add, and it seemed so family like when you're here, that once you're a part of the program, you'd never have to, you know, be anything else. You're a part of the family now, and anything that you need, you come and you ask, and somebody here is going to have an answer for you, and they'll help you every step of the way through any struggle that you have. And it's really kind of you know, fulfilling to like be a part of a family in that way.
So, you know, you've both sort of mentioned some of the, you know, programs and services and things here. And for those who aren't really aware, there's been a lot of talk and some good press for either Day Reporting Center. People have been excited that you've been here. But to let people know, what is it you know, what's offered? What can people participate in? And maybe we begin with Danielle and then Christopher.
Sure. So being an evidence-based program, we utilize cognitive behavioral treatment to target moderate to high risk to reoffend individuals. Mm-hmm. And in partnership with Shasta County Probation, we provide the necessary dosage of accountability and opportunity for change that increases the likelihood of success once they're out of the program, off supervision, and ultimately not going to re-enter the criminal justice system after this. So to achieve that goal, we utilize an assessment-based and individually tailored program approach. Mm. So we cater to each unique individual need, and we help them gain stability, achieve sobriety, learn the life skills, and establish healthy coping and problem-solving skills so that they are able to navigate the highs and lows of life that are inevitable.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So it's an assessment, and then it's tailored to whatever, not everyone needs substance abuse.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so based on what the assessment tells us, are there risky key life areas that could get them back into trouble? We target those areas, create an individual success plan, and in partnership with participants, create a goal and plan to help them identify new ways of thinking, behaving, problem solving, so that they can gain the new skills and things needed to be successful.
Mm-hmm. And Christopher, how do you either explain, you know, when people say, what is it you do, or what that plan looked like for you, whatever you're comfortable sharing?
So it seems like a lot to hear, and it kind of is. And so in layman's terms, all that, when I got here to the program, it was, you know, what's your vice? What's your problem? And it took me a while to really get to where I was comfortable talking about anything, because it's not comfortable. And you've been trained, and we've been conditioned by our youth or our peers to hide and to lie and to, you know, cover up anything that we do. And that's a big part of it. It's not just drugs and alcohol. It's lying to yourself. It's not having a code of conduct. So you basically start writing down in your behavior change plan, what are the things that you want to see yourself be better at in your own behavior first? And then on top of it, of course, you have to submit the clean tests, and you have to, you know, there's a you know, check system of when you walk into the door till you can get this help. But like, it's so much worth it to get the help, because, you know, by the time you're done here, people are congratulating you, dignified members of the community are clapping for you. You really get to feel special, and it comes full circle. And it all starts with, you know, writing down on a piece of paper, and everybody's here to help you with it every step of the way, what it is you need to change most about yourself. And it might take a while to find that, but you ultimately find out what it is, and it might be something that you didn't realize that it was. That's why they have all their templates, and all of the questions they ask have a point and have a reason, and you just need to be honest, answer them honestly, and you might find something out about yourself you didn't realize.
So it sounds like there's the assessment, so each person has their own plan, that they're cooperating.
It's 100% unique, yes.
Perfect.
Everybody's different, and everybody has their own requirements and needs, and you're going to get that here, even if you don't know what it is when you first walk in. You could be, you get high on drugs, but didn't realize you also had a anger problem and this, that, and the other, and that's... Once you got yourself free of one thing, everything else started to fall in line. I know that it was with me, that once I started getting away from the bottle, I realized that, I have all these new aspects of life that I enjoy or need to work on, and started honing everything out, and it was great.
Nice. Well, what helped you get the trust or the comfort that you needed to start engaging? Because that is tough, like coming to a new place. And
it's very, very difficult. excuse me. So it took a while. It took, a good couple of months to want to start opening up, because that's just not natural for somebody who's come from the life that I came from before. It's not natural to want to, and it's not like you're, ratting anybody out or whatever like that. It's really you're ratting yourself out. And that's the hardest part. You don't want to do that. And so you hide and lie and hide and lie as long as you can. But then every day you come into smiling faces. Every day you're coming into nice people who are real people. And they're not just grabbing you by the collar and throwing you in a chair and asking you questions. It's you come in on your own and they're smiling and happy to see you. And you build that trust and we're earning respect on both sides of the table with each other, and that's a big part of it. And it takes a while just to do that, but once it happens, it's you know you can trust it here. You know you can trust these people, and that they're gonna do what's best for you. And that's what I was proven. That was what was proven to me, I should say, over the course of the time that it took. But they did, and I can say that they'll do that with everybody that comes in here. And now being in the friends group, of knowing quite a few participants, it's the same with everybody. You know, these are people that are trying to help improve your life and make you a good, solid member of community, and that's their only goal in mind. Your best interest.
So, Danielle, from your position, what do you all do to create that environment to help build that trust for people to be vulnerable about things that can be scary, it sounds like, or just speaking for myself, you know, that kind of introspection can be scary.
It really starts with finding and building a team of passionate people who believe in change and who want to help people find their potential. And that's really, you know, going back to all the staff here have our why. And we actually have them posted on the wall because we want to be able to share with participants that we're here to help them, point blank. And so this culture that is here that I'm really proud of is that this is a safe space. This is a space where you can come, you're going to get support, you're going to have people who are rooting for you to succeed, that are going to be there through your highs and your lows, because at the end of it, we know what you're capable of achieving and who you're capable of being. And we want to help you realize that and reach that. So it just, I think, starts with the Shasta DRC team is truly a team that is just passionate to serve the people in this community and then in this program.
Every organization should have people with their whys on the board. I think that's a great idea. So the plans and the programs and the support, in part is in recognition of the challenges that people face from transitioning out of jail or prison, other types of institutions, but in this case, you know, jails or prison, and back into communities, work, family, friends. For people who haven't really thought about that a lot, what are some of the key challenges that people face in making that transition?
Well, my idea of challenges in society today are, you know, work, bills, keeping the car registered and smogged every 2 years. You know, those are the things that are a reality now. But when you first come out the doors or out the gates and they shut behind you, you kind of have this glimpse of freedom, and it kind of makes you want to just run wild. And that's your initial challenge is pulling back the reins and saying, whoa, I need to actually put together some real life, not doing the same thing to get me back into trouble. And that's why this program is great, because it gives the offender an opportunity to get some grounding before they take off into life. If you don't get the grounding, once you feel that sense of freedom, you just run wild with it, and you end up reoffending. And maybe not because you wanted to, because Lord knows you don't want to go back and do the time you just did. But the fact that there was no bumpers along the way. You know, it's like when you first go bowling, we put the bumpers up because
I still use bumpers.
Balls is going to go anywhere. Yeah. That's how it is when you first grab some freedom. You feel like the smartest guy in the world and whatever, but then all of that, what you think is fun, what you think is a good time, starts flooding into your mind, like, I can do that now. And then you end up going and doing that, and something awful happens, or, you know, something, you do something stupid and you wind right back up where you were. Whereas this program, you really are, since it's full time, you're given the opportunity to sit and think about good goals, good aspirations, and you know, a good outlook on life. Not just, I can go and do whatever I want.
Right. Well, you're also mentioning something I've heard from a lot of veterans, too, that you come from a super structured, here's your meals, you know what you're doing every minute of the day, to no structure. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, regardless, is challenging.
Very challenging. Very. And I could see how that would be the same for somebody out of the military, because you know, you just got done with something very stressful, too. It was very stressful, and you want to unwind, but you don't have a good, proper unwind that other than, you know, something crazy. And in reality, my unwind is I go and read a book now, or enjoy a good show, or something to that nature, or enjoy a family event and get everybody together. And I put my effort towards those things like I used to put my effort towards going and getting hammered at the bar. But now I'm actually getting memories, and I'm, you know, getting laughs and smiles with the people that I love the most, or knowledge of things that I wanted to hear or things that I wanted to know about. Every day is just another step in the right direction, and it's amazing how much my own life has turned around and become something that I cherish. And life's not a longevity contest. It's a contest of seeing how much good you can get out of it, as well as how much good you can put into it.
And to Mr. Coulter's point, you know, where do you start when someone's transitioning out? It's like, where do you start, and what do you focus on? And so here at the program, when we bring someone into the program, the first thing we're doing is, what stabilization factors do you lack? What do you need? And we're creating this plan with them to help them build a new foundation and a healthy foundation that allows them then to go through, you know, a self-discovery or change journey. Because the stabilization is the foundation, right? You have to have housing, and that not having housing can really cause this stress of like, okay, well, I just got to figure out where I'm going to sleep tonight. I can't think about how am I going to get to the DRC. I got to figure out where am I going to be. And so we want to support and meet the participants where they're at when they come into the program. And usually that's, okay, what stability factors can we help you with? Who can we connect you with in the community? How can we support you as we figure out what your programming is going to look like? And then that remains a focus throughout their program, but we start there. So that as they then go into groups and services that help them have more recognition of what they're struggling with internally, they're able to have, you know, kind of a healthy space or a clean slate to really start to try and have an understanding of themselves.
Mm-hmm. And it sounds like I've done a different listening session with folks from here who participate in the program, and a lot of those stability factors are so interrelated. Mm-hmm. Like, you need a place to stay, and you need housing and stability to get work. Mm-hmm. And you need the work and the money to get the house, and like there's a lot of interconnections there.
Yeah, that's, I think, the most challenging aspect. When a participant comes in, they're usually facing multiple stabilization barriers, and often it's unstable housing combined with drug dependency, combined with a lack of like a safe housing environment, right? Like, the norm that they grew up with might have unfortunately been in a home where drugs were normal. It's what the family valued. And so they can't just go back to that home and have a safe place to also then come to a program where it's, you know, trying to create a new stability factor, create a new environment for them. And so those aren't easy things to address, but that's where we need to start.
Mm-hmm. And Christopher, whatever you have to add to that, but there's also something that you said about those resources before, whether it's people or ways of blowing off steam, or have to be often rebuilt.
Yeah, they do. Friendships, even relationships, everything. But that's why when participants first come in and I get to speak with them, when I do, they'll have questions and I say, you ask, and they're going to have an answer for you. They'll have a bus pass for you. They'll have a place you can go. There's programs that, you know, will get you money for necessities. They'll get you a card for food. I mean, anything that you have a question or a need that is a basic need of life, well, fortunately, in our great country, we have the ability to find it. One way or another, you can get it going until you can get it for yourself. And I know that quite a few people, they come in, they renew their bus pass, and they get their stuff, and they grab some paperwork for here and there and go turn in some applications. By the time you know it, they've got a great job that's paying them well. They're living someplace happy. They're starting to, you know, try and find connections with their loved ones again. And they're getting around point A to B, and they're smiling every time you see them. And that's a big thing. Is, I mean, somebody who's partying all the time, I don't see them smiling every time I see them. But when they're coming through this program and they're actually getting a good life, they're smiling. Every time you see them, they're smiling. Whether they're just going down the road or not, it's like they've got a goal in mind. They've got a plan for the day. They've got a means to get it all done. And that's really some of the biggest things that you could hope for somebody coming out of the system or the criminal justice system with no guidance or nobody really there for them, is to see them happy and doing good. And that's why there's no reoffend, because they're happy and they're getting it done, and they're prideful in it. They're not even wanting to revert back to anything else because they're so happy with how far they've come and what they have now.
You know, we've mentioned the individual plan, and you know, you're speaking to like, hey, think about what you need as transportation or food and see what resources are out there. It sounds like the DRC helps you connect with those resources. And Christopher, you're speaking too about that support of people who've gone through the system, or helping people to think about who else they might connect with that would be a positive, you know, support. What other forms of support help people to make that transition successfully? Like, besides what they're able to get here, what else helps people to keep going?
Out on the outside of this program, probation honors your time here with, you know, could be early termination. The court system sees this as something that they could fall back on as far as classes that you should have taken for trouble that you've got in. It fulfills quite a few different other outside entities that are looking at you kind of, and you feel like waiting for you to just mess up again. This shows them that you're not, and your family sees it, and everybody is, you know, starting to get teary-eyed when you're around because you're doing so good. And that you're talking to probation about getting off of getting terminated early, and they're happy to do so because you're doing so well. And that is some of the inspiration on, you know, from the rest of your life. If you have all these things that you got to deal with on top of living and breathing every day, you know, you also have everything else breathing down your neck. This program shows that you're, you know, once you get it done and get through it, you can get over a lot of other outside things.
Just listening to participants and learning from them through the years, one of the things that seems to be extremely helpful is having a support system. And, you know, the DRC is proud and happy to be a piece of that puzzle, but building a support system outside of the DRC is also extremely helpful. And a huge piece of that support system is family. And so family reunification doesn't just happen because you were released and you're back in the community. And so, you know, part of the facilitation of helping participants reestablish trust with their family, being able to help them learn skills to have some probably difficult conversations with family members, but be able to share as they want to make new changes that they're not only wanting it, but then doing so. And so, you know, the DRC, I mean, I was just with a participant, someone who was new to the program last week, and I asked them, what would motivate you to keep progressing through the program? And they said, I want to build the trust back with my family, with my parents in particular. And I said, okay, so if we were to, you know, give them a call every week and just share with them that, you know, directly from us, here's how you're doing, good, bad, or indifferent, keep in mind. But, you know, would that be good? And so sure enough, the behavior change manager, I got to be a part of the situation, sat there and called her dad with her right there. And he was happy about it. The mom was proud of her, and it was, you could see that it meant a lot to her. And so sometimes, you know, when it comes to the external factors of what a person needs outside of the program, at least we can help facilitate that here, because sometimes that's, you know, a key piece to wanting to keep progressing and doing something different than you did before.
Mm-hmm. And are there resources or programs that help the families themselves prepare to be more supportive for people coming back?
Well, there's open house nights, and there's different things that the family can participate in here at the program where they can come and be a part of. They don't close the door to anybody. I know that I've brought my parents in here to show them what I've been doing, and to try and, you know, get them to be more accepting of me in their life, and it has 100% worked. They now we have a whole different relationship. It's interesting that the holidays now are so much different than they've always been, and even being invited to the holidays is a big thing. You know, and now it's exciting, and we're seeing each other, then we're laughing about things, which hadn't happened for years before, and that's a huge part of it. This restructuring with family, and family can be a part of it all they want. They can call in, they can come in, they can ask questions, they can look at facts on paper, they can see clean tests. They can see, you know, participation. They keep record of everything. So, you know, if you really want to know that your child is doing good, or your sister or brother or whoever is doing well, they easily can reach out and be a part of their life again. Even if it's from a distance, initially getting the information from the program first before they decide. Because that wall, trust wall that you destroy is hard to rebuild. It does take time, but that's one great thing about the program is you can rebuild it in a short amount of time, you know, just due to the requirements. That we do a lot in the program here. Every phase has its chunk of duties that you have to do, but by the end of it, you know, you're starting to get certificate after certificate of completion, and you're feeling great about yourself, and you've got things to put on the wall, and they mean something.
Yeah, you can see that progress.
Yeah. And I have to say, you know, a highlight actually, Mr. Coulter, since I've been here, was watching you at our open house last year give a tour of the program to your family, and in your own words explaining what each curriculum and event or service meant and how it impacted you. And it was truly a highlight and just really awesome to see their response to what you were sharing and their excitement and their joy for you and what you were choosing to do, because this program is a choice.
So that was one of the only times, the last, I haven't seen my mom and dad together for 15 years, but they came together to see me in this program, and that meant so much, you know, that they could put aside all their differences to come in for their only son. And I know that I've sure made it rough for them, but they, you know, put all that aside to come in and support me, and it was amazing as well. I appreciated you guys allowing me to do that.
Absolutely, our honor.
So, you know, the other thing that you do, you know, you have these referrals to things in the program too, but, you know, across the board, regardless of the issues that we're facing, there tend to be gaps. Like, wow, it would be great if we had more resources in the community to do this, or services that did that, or policies that allowed, you know, more successful transition, whether it's getting jobs or, you know, whatnot. What are the gaps in services or programs that you see out there, or policies that if we had them in our community would make it easier?
I think when I think of it, there's just one word that comes to mind, and it's just timeliness. You know, it's almost irregardless of what need it is. If it's not done timely, there's going to be a gap. And so, you know, housing is always going to be a tough one. And I have been a part of a lot of initiatives within Shasta County looking to find solutions to fill the gap. It's a tough need to have a timely response to. But that's really what comes to mind, is just the timeliness of any resource. And you know, there's some resources that we're able to connect people with timely, and you can see a difference in the ability for a participant or a person to carry that momentum, right? Getting something that makes you feel secure or stabilized, it can be really fulfilling. And so, you know, how do we help people feel that right from release, right from the get-go?
And I feel like the word that comes to my mind is they're passionate. They're not only timely, but they're so passionate about their work that you can tell they're wholeheartedly here for you, and that they really put their own lives on hold. You never hear them complaining about their life, but we sure come in here every day and complain about ours. And that's it's not something you realize until you start to get further along in the program, or even after you graduate the program. It really is shocking that they put 100% of their lives aside to intervene into your life and listen to all your problems, be basically a full-time counselor, and this program is free. It's not something you're paying for. You don't pay for anything. It's offered to you for free, and you have a full-time counselor, you have a full-time guidance system, not just counselor, but the whole system of people, and network of people working in your favor. And so, you know, it's they're so passionate about it that it is, it's amazing that this hasn't been around the whole time, forever.
And it sounds like when you're going outside of the DRC, like knowing that someone cares and that it's important to them is also important to being able to ask for the assistance or to connect with them.
Somebody that cares about what's good for you. Sometimes once you break the trust with family, you can have walls built and hatred built up toward, and you feel like they don't care about what's good for you. You know, so having this third party intervene and help you find some good tracks to put you, you know, to move along is great.
So, you know, we've talked about some of the challenges and things that you need to do, and for me it's important too to talk about some of the strengths that people bring. And we talked a little bit before we started recording about that. But, you know, Christopher, you were talking about the deep reflection on what has my life been like and what's been hard and what's gone wrong and what do I need to do. And not everybody does that, you know, in the community. So what do you see as some of the strengths or resources that you bring to the community after having done that work?
After doing all of the program and doing all the work in here, I've found that myself, I enjoy kind of the same aspect of counseling that I got from the program. And in my, you know, next 10 years, I'm going to start schooling in counseling and psychology to try and find a way down the same path, because I enjoyed it so much and got involved so much that I could see myself doing the same thing. I like helping people with their problems, more or less, and finding solutions. And a lot of the times, you don't see it when it's your problem, but somebody else can definitely see it and can give you, you know, shoot you in the right direction. And so that's a lot of one of the strengths I've pulled from this, is that I can see myself becoming a counselor. I could see myself helping people because I feel like, you know, I've got, you know, a shoulder you can lean on, or some observations that maybe you don't see, especially since that happened to me here. And that's the first time that's happened in my life, you know.
Wow.
Yeah.
So both developing, like seeing that, developing it through the program, and recognizing you have those, that skill or talent to.
Yeah. And then once I started being involved in the class settings, and then we get into a study hall of the class, and it's, you know, open room or open whatever, we can all talk with each other. I loved running around the room talking with everybody, and you're meeting new people and you're discussing things and getting through the problems in the book, or the, you know, how to do certain things through the book, and it was just good camaraderie. That was something that was needed, I think, in the structure of my life, was having some good camaraderie and friends, people I could trust.
From a staff perspective, what I've recognized in program graduates and alumni is that they're some of the most hardworking individuals you're going to meet. And they see the value in everything, whether it was because they didn't have what they now have before, or because they just see it in a different lens. But the level of dedication and perseverance and commitment, whether it's employment or taking care of their family, there's just this common theme of such a commitment to continue pushing through. It's really admirable. And so, you know, people who are given another chance or an opportunity to see themselves in a way they didn't ever see themselves, you get a whole new level of just capability and perseverance. And it's just awesome to watch and see and witness.
And, you know, I wanted to ask both of you, you know, you've spoken about a lot of the different successes. And at the beginning, you talked about the data on it, on the program that GEO's collected. So I'm wondering how you measure success, both from the data side and also what success looks like, you know, for you, Christopher. Like, how do you know it's there?
So at the DRC, we measure success on really two levels, in the individual level and then, of course, the community level. So on the individual level, we're working to help people live healthier and more resiliently. These outcomes are personal to the individual needs of the participant, but include things like reducing their substance use, rebuilding family connections, stabilized housing situations, and holistic management of mental wellness, increasing positive social supports. And so those elements, when we look at an individual, you know, if they're achieving those things, that's success. That person is finding success, and we count that and measure that as success, those gains in their life. And then at the community level, taking all of these individual changes and reducing their involvement in the criminal justice system. You know, we're trying to engage participants in healthier lifestyles and behaviors that translate to fewer arrests and convictions, and ultimately reducing recidivism and improving community public safety.
And so have you seen those?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And so in our first 8 years of operations, we've served over 1,200 unique individuals. 62% of those individuals remaining in the community with no new felony convictions. And in addition to that, our outcomes show that as a participant progresses through the program, say they don't maybe get all the way through the program, but they get to phase two or three, that even that time in the program reduces their likelihood to reoffend.
It increases with the more they stay.
Their success and their risk to reoffend, it all decreases. Their success increases, their risk to reoffend decreases as they progress through the program, regardless of at what phase they exit it.
And one thing that I remember coming into the program was small victories. And there's a great reward system in the program, not only personally, but actual, you know, little stimulant things from the program that they give you, or gifts that they give you for each little victory you have, whether it's having a clean drug test or completing a section in the book. And I remember coming into program and I had to start so small. Today I'm going to do better, and then, you know, I'm going to make it one more day and do better. The next day I'm going to do better, and you know, it gives you the opportunity to start small, because it is every day. And then once you get into a new phase of the program, you get a couple of days freedom. You know, you get your weekends back. You have 2 days where you don't have to come in. You can call in, but you earned those things. And you feel so good that you earned a couple of days back. And then as you go into phase three of the program, you get a couple more days. Then you don't have to do as many classes. And as the further you move along, the more wins you start adding up and the more achievements you start racking up, you really start thinking further out. This week, I'm going to do this. You know, I'm at a point now where I've got a five-year plan for my life, a 10-year plan for my life, and that was all structured through the program. It's in the book that we all have to complete, and I never had thought like that before. Now I have these plans and I go back over them. You know, even in my own day-to-day life, I think about the things that I wrote down. I go, well, I need it. I know that that's part of the next 5-year plan. I'm going to do that. I'm going to get popped into my head. And they're fun things. Go skydiving. Go on a cruise. Read a book. You know, the different things that are tangible, graspable things that I can do. And I think about those at the same time. I'm not scared about, am I going to be good today? I'm not living day to day anymore. And that's a big success. And that's one thing that a lot of participants come into the program, they're just trying to do better today. They don't care about what tomorrow holds. They don't even think about next week. You know, and by the time you're done, you're planning out, you know, in the year, every month guaranteed, but you have big goals and aspirations in life.
Now I have one of those impossible to answer larger questions. You know, this show is part of the Shasta Equal Justice Coalition, and we talk about, you know, the importance of creating equal justice, you know, whether you've come out of the system or by race, gender, you know, nation, all of those things. I'm wondering what equal justice means to you, or how you define it, how you think about that.
I guess we all want to see anybody be responsible for their own actions and take responsibility for what is being done or what they did. And if I was to simplify it, I would say that equal justice means I want to see myself do good and them do good and we do good together because, you know, it's kind of a united we stand, divided we fall. We can't always be making barriers against each other, no matter what political party or side or any of that.
Yeah, and, you know, equal justice for, you know, speaking on the company level that I get to work for, it falls in line with our company's foundational belief that people can change and we need to provide them a fair chance to do so. And so we can't expect people to know how to do something differently, especially if their upbringing showed them an unhealthy norm. We need to provide individuals the opportunity and support to recognize, learn, and apply healthy new ways of living.
Thank you for that, answering the big questions. So if people listen to this and think, that is so awesome, I'd love to support that work, and sometimes people think about donations or volunteering or creating opportunities. What would you say to those folks who want to reinforce what's happening here?
You know, being able to utilize the community and every person's or organization's strengths and expertise and really come together and partner to serve individuals in our community. And so the Shasta DRC, we really value establishing and building and maintaining those partnerships where we can fill gaps in service or help be a part of the solution. Not just what can a partnership do for GEO, but, you know, how can we give back to our community and how can we expand our connections to allow participants to benefit from those partnerships, such as being able to get a job somewhere, maybe one they even thought they wouldn't be able to get, having mentorship opportunities, being able to even speak and share their stories. There's just so much opportunity that can come from building partnerships within our own community. And so I would just say that that's key. And you know, we're happy and wanting to continue to build those connections for those we serve and to help everyone.
And I think that it's kind of a don't count anybody out just yet idea. We're forever evolving. We're forever changing as a species. We are always learning, and anybody has the ability to, you know, reform or evolve into a better person. And I think that it gives people the ability to argue, you know, there is opportunity out there for you. And they may have a loved one or a friend that, you know, they're hoping does better. And I'd have to say, you know, don't count them out yet. Maybe offer something like this to them. They can always, you know, sign up or come down, or they have opportunity to structure their life. And there's, you know, organizations like this that will do that for them and help them, you know, get a life back that they may have already thrashed. But don't count them out, because they're still people. Mm-hmm. They're still good people somewhere in there. And it may take a little time to find it, but, you know, it can be found. And that's why there's such a high success rate.
And I thought I'd just end with, you know, the larger question of, is there anything else I should have asked you about or that you wanted to share that we didn't get to in our conversation?
I can share something that back in the beginning I didn't share when we opened. And so the Shasta DRC opened our doors April 8th, 2013. And so just shy of 10 years ago next month.
Wow.
And it's just so exciting to hit that 10-year milestone and think about all the people that we've served. And so we are even going to be hosting an open house where the community is welcome to come here to the Shasta Day Reporting Center and receive a tour of the services that we do, hear from participants. I'm sure we'll have Mr. Coulter present. So that will be Tuesday, April 4th. at 11 a.m. And we just strongly encourage people to come by and be able to hear from participants and staff, you know, why we do what we do. And
nice. I'll put that in the show notes and share it with the
SCTC. Of course,
SCTC.
You can always find this information online at the website at ShastaCounty.com. And I think it's /DRC as you can find it. But any Google search, you can come up with it, the DRC Geo Reentry Program.
I'll get it and I'll stick it in the show notes. Anything else you wanted to say? Or
thank you for having me today. It's nice. I hope we can get a little more enlightenment out to the community.
Yeah, thank you both so much. And you have been listening to KKRN Community Supported Radio out of Round Mountain and Bella Vista, California. You can stream and always donate at kkrn.org.